We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, I watched this segment on 60 Minutes last night. The Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. Piece of legislation moving through Congress may change all of your different state laws, your laws, state by state, some very similar, some completely opposite, on carry laws. This would make gun permits more like driver's license, thus transportable across state lines. If you are allowed to carry concealed weapons in your home state, you would be allowed to carry it in every state. Single one. It's already moved through the House of Reps, has the full support of the president, has roughly 40 co-sponsors in the Senate. They give an example of Mississippi, where individuals with the restrictions they have in Mississippi, then, Adam, they could go to New York, they could go to California. An individual, multiple individuals were quoted, including Tim Schmidt, president and founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association, along with the National Rifle Association and other gun rights groups. They have successfully sold the bill in conservative red states as simply common sense solution to the hodgepodge of confusing, contradictory state laws that infringe upon America's rights to bear arms. No surprise there are opposition in other states, including California. Reading here from what Steve Croft and his producers said last night. It's one of eight states, California, that generally requires background checks, at least some firearms training, and a proven need to carry a handgun. In another 30 states, it's easier to get a concealed carry permit, and many of those, there's no requirement to be proficient in the use of firearms. More on this. They talk with one of the reps who is in favor of this, Representative Richard Hudson. There are folks on both sides of the argument, the representative said, and then good folks on both sides who are honestly trying to protect citizens. I just disagree with some of the conclusions people on the other side are making. Steve Croft, so you're saying New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, big cities have no right to pass any laws that regulate who can carry a weapon. The representative, these cities and states still can continue to have whatever laws they want to protect. Croft says, except they can't have a law that prohibits someone from carrying a concealed weapon, which, by the way, is the basis of the law. The representative said, right, just like a driver's license. You can't say you can't drive here. Croft comes back. It's not just like a driver's license, because you get a driver's license, you have to demonstrate a proficiency and establish you're not going to endanger the public. But that's not the case in terms of possessing. Representative says, right. Representative says, but driving is a privilege. Owning a firearm is constitutionally protected, so there is a difference. Let's pause here because I want to get to it. I'm going to give my opinion on this. I want to hear what Lindsey and Adam have to say. We've talked guns at times, sometimes many times, often after tragedies. Thankfully right now, and sadly there were people murdered the last couple days that many people know about. The masses don't, so there's not a mass controversy in reacting. But do you believe if you live in a state and you are following the state laws of Minnesota, Arizona, you name it, that you should be able to do that in other states when we're talking about carrying a gun? Or do you have to adhere to the state laws where you then are going to? Let me know where you stand on the issue. 81807. Back to it after traffic. All right. So many times you talk about guns and laws and legislation in this state. The enemy is nuance. The enemy is having debates on it that either side wants to just be so Guns are phenomenal. Guns are great. Guns are horrible. Guns are the end of the world. That if you try to have a conversation that works with so many people, the other side is just villainous and evil. I'm sorry, a texter nails it here when people are saying, including Republicans, states' rights except when you don't agree. I think this is where I agree with Republicans the overwhelming majority of the time, that every state, Adam and Lindsay, doesn't have to be the same. We don't just have a nation of, we're just all under one law. And yes, we have federal laws, but then we have state laws. Then we have local laws. And I get that this gets more complicated because it's also a part of our Constitution. And then we can have the debate on, do you believe in the Constitution as a literalist, or do you think it evolves? And we know it's held up through the Constitution on certain restrictions. Every amendment has faced that, including the Second Amendment. And there are certain parts where I think go too far. I'll give you an example of California, where California, when they go through background checks, no problem with it. Some firearms training, no problem with it. And then a proven need to carry a handgun. I don't agree with that, Adam. I don't think you should have to go to the state and prove your need to have a handgun. I don't. But the idea that we're going to have 50 states, and so we're going to have different laws, but on guns and carry or conceal, that's going to be different, is nonsense. Then why should states have any laws regarding guns, Adam? Why should any cities have any laws? Because I think Croft nails it. How they deal with it in Chicago, New York, is going to be very different how they handle it in, take your pick, many other locations. And when you are in those cities or those states, even if you disagree, even if you protest, even if things misguided, you have to follow. Because where's the precedent on this, Adam? Why shouldn't we say whatever law that I have to adhere to in Minnesota, if you have a conflicting view in Wisconsin, Iowa, Arizona, you name it, well, in Minnesota, it's this way. Wouldn't that basically tear up states' rights and make them irrelevant? So for me, I don't mind that different states. And if you want to have an honest conversation about this, it's fine. Because I don't find all guns evil. I'm sorry, I don't. But greater background checks, like there's a story today about the military after the awful situation with the shooting at the church in Texas, when this individual should not have had it. And there was a mistake, and it turned out that now they've put more individuals who have dishonorably been discharged on a list to prohibit guns. There's a way to, I think, have an honest conversation that too many people don't want to have. So, no, I do not think this should pass. Adam, you first.
Well, you just pointed it out, the hypocrisy of, you know, states' rights, unless it involves something that, you know, I want. A pot is another good example. Oh, it's a federal law. There's no pot is illegal. Well, two states or four states, five states have now passed it as recreational. So states' rights is okay in some cases, but it's not okay in others. So if I'm a Colorado resident, I can smoke pot in Colorado. Should I be able to allow to smoke pot wherever I want because it's legal in Colorado? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, let states and have their own laws. And it's not. And if you have every right, if you're in a state or city, to carry a handgun, that's great. But you know what? You should have a general knowledge of the rules, not only in where you live, but where you're going to, including the airport. Oh, I've got a gun. Oh, I can't carry my gun onto an airplane. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, and that's the part of being a responsible gun owner. If I am driving in Arizona, where I have been pulled over before, and I'm not up on the local laws, that's my responsibility. It's a privilege to drive a car. It's your right to own a gun, and it's a privilege to be able to carry it in specific areas. But then you need to know what the rules are where you're going.
100%. I mean, I just, to me, I think this is just another one where one of the two sides, which often goes back in the corner, is going back here. And I don't agree all the time, but I respect the differences, especially those who feel like they should have the right to bear arms for whatever reason, including and most importantly, protect themselves. But to just say, I can do it here and pick the state so I get to do it everywhere else, then again, let's just end the states. Then it doesn't matter. You can't. It's just pot meets kettle. We're going to get to that in the next segment also, where it's just so blatantly obvious.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're only for state rights if it benefits you and something you're passionate about. And the two that come to mind right now are the legalization of marijuana and gun rights. And it's because, one, they're hot button issues, because you're either on one end of the spectrum or the other. There's very little middle ground. And if you are in the middle.
And there should be middle ground. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
But the issue is that if you are in the middle, you've either stopped talking about it because it's so polarizing, or you're being drowned out by the people on the opposite ends who are just screaming over you, trying to be the loudest one in the room. And so it does come down to that. If you're going to allow states to have their own set of laws to put into effect what they believe is best for their constituents, then you need to hold to it or just get rid of it.
Among the texts, Republicans care nothing about states' rights. They claim they do. Like, they claim they care about the deficit. They only care about their agenda. The argument is that a carry permit should be treated like a driver's license, where it's good in every state. States should make their own laws, is reading all the texts here. People carrying loaded guns everywhere is getting ridiculous. I prefer to not get shot. The Constitution, the amendments are so outdated, they all need to be changed. Chad, I am for a federal permit to carry. I also think, much like the military, we should have standardized testing, firearm qualifications. 100%, you have to go by the state you're in at the time. Motorcycles always do this. When enter a state where helmet is required, they need to put one on. Everyone wearing a gun is just like the Wild West. Yeehaw. I would actually think gun rights backers would resist this effort to federalize the gun laws, as it would take out of local hands should the federal government shift to more restrictive perspective. I think that's a really good text, Adam, because isn't that the whole thing against the government militia? That's the whole thing. That's the fear. If the government is coming at me, then I should be able to protect myself. Well, if we just have one law, Adam, from the federal government, and your fear is, and you're a literalist on the Constitution, as opposed to having, you know, myriad of local laws, state laws, federal laws, Adam, now you'd have one. And so it'd be more imposing that way. If you travel across state lines with a firearm, you better know the state laws on firearms. No questions asked. A couple more here. As the country becomes more fractured, Washington slowly becomes more of an abomination. Aren't we just headed towards 50 states, really just their own countries? No. Once again, I agree with Lindsay, the wild one. Gun rights are not a state issue. The Constitution covers the whole United States. Well, then why do we have laws in cities and counties and states that deal with guns? And we have forever. And they've been held up through the Constitution of the states and the federal and an original Constitution, that you can have differences and you can have adjustments. 22 past 2 here on CCO. Overrated, underrated, properly rated in less than 10, a news update from Adam. Jamie Yuccas will join us tomorrow. We also give out our first pair of tickets to our Wolf Suite event, which is March 28th. Against the Atlanta Hawks, the Wolves honoring Flip. On Thursday, we've got some ideas planned for that coming up later this week. The president reacting to what is taking place with Rob Porter and also another speechwriter when he stepped down after accusations from his first wife about spousal abuse. When the president tweets out Saturday, People's lives are being shattered and destroyed by mere allegations. Some are true, some are false. Some are old, some are new. There is no recovery, someone falsely accused. Life and career are gone. Is there no such thing any longer as due process? Now, Adam, on this show, we've actually had some long conversations during the Me Too movement where if you are an individual and you believe you are 100% innocent, not just not guilty, but innocent, that these are false accusations against you, because there have been so many other horrific stories, that how do you stand out? How can you come forward and say, I didn't do this, when we're in this wave, when rightfully so, powerfully so, thankfully so, so many women have spoken out. I also think there have been men who've tried to talk about this, and when they try to talk about various degrees of this, they get destroyed. And you should be able to have a conversation about something that's inappropriate and all uncalled for, let's be clear, but not rape. Not to say that this one was okay, but there are levels of how degrading and how disgusting, and no one should face any of it. But like we have them, there are stronger charges for various areas where you're found guilty. So if somebody wants to have this conversation, Adam, sure. But the president of the United States, Donald Trump, who, if somebody wanted to do the research, Adam, they easily could find hundreds of tweets. And how about, Adam, all the retweets where it is a conspiracy theory or it's accusations from one individual, which might be correct and might not be correct, against someone he disagrees with. So the audacity, the delusion for Donald Trump to talk due process, as the story's pointed out this week, when it's someone he agrees with, Mike Tyson. When we go back to a horrific charges of rape in Central Park 25 years ago, when it's Roger Ailes, when it's Bill O'Reilly, when it's Roy Moore, then there's one level. When it's Al Franken or somebody else who doesn't agree with them, it's completely different. So again, just be honest. If you agree with the president, you think all this makes sense. But factually, you want to tell me that Donald Trump, through his public comments and through Twitter, always speaks out on due process? Then you've hit your head and you're concussed because you're not making sense. Again, you want to believe in the direction he's leading the country on economics, deregulation, taxes, 401k, the market. There are many areas to defend. But on Donald Trump, through his public comments and due process, his due process is, do I agree with that person and does that person agree with me? Then I'll back him. But if they don't, I'll tweet out, I'll retweet out, or I'll say it because they're not on my team. Adam, what do you think?
Well, it's just not surprising. And again, like his followers, they just don't care. I mean, it's the argument I hear more and more is that I believe in his policies and what he's doing and the stuff on Twitter and those comments. I know it's outrageous sometimes, I don't care because it doesn't really matter.
And this idea, again, the more people keep tossing out, that women in the Me Too movement are stepping forward for publicity. I mean, Lindsay, it's the infinitesimally small percentage of people do that. Let's talk about all the other. Do you think Jenny Willoughby right now, who's talking about what Rob Portie did to her with a number of lengthy interviews, then writes today in Time about literally see the president of the United States basically call her a liar? Do you think Rob Porter's previous wife, who's the one with the pictures of the black eye, they're doing this for publicity. They're doing this for benefit. And this idea, again, still of people saying when they step forward, you go through some horrible trauma. And all of us react differently. But this idea of they're doing it to benefit, who's benefiting from this?
Well, I go back to one of the women who came forward against Roy Moore. Her house was burned to the ground. You think that women or men, because it's not just women, but do you think that people in these situations come forward thinking that the life that they lead after making that announcement is going to be some, like there's some celebrity? It's just,
right.
It's
or money is going to be there?
Yeah, it's just, it's baffling. And it's the reason why most victims don't come forward is because
exactly.
For some people, that is their first reaction. I mean, it comes down to it now. There was another story coming out of NPR about an employee who left. And if you don't document it the moment it happens with multiple people, or you're not saving the text messages, if you ever decide to come forward, you're basically screwing yourself over, because we've come to the point now where everyone's doing it for publicity. A friend of mine is one of the women who came forward at NPR. And she was smart enough when it was going down to confide in her father. And they had a relationship where she felt comfortable saying to him, this is what's happening. These are the texts that are being sent to me. And to have someone on her side when it came out, it's infuriating. And if you have a woman in your life that you care about, you would hope that if she ever came forward, that people would stand by her and not assume that what she – her 15 minutes of fame, like it's ridiculous.
And can people throw false accusations out there? Sure. Let's have an honest investigation. But if you're going to be someone who's calling for due process, you believe in it all the time. Just like when we had the conversation about the two judges in the story about Larry Nassar. A villainous, disgusting, vile person. But if you truly believe in the law, he deserves representation. If you truly believe in the law, are judges going too far when they're delivering sermons or when people are jumping to go after him? Do you think I care at all if he gets the you-know-what beat out of him? Hell no. But we still have courts. We still have our system. So if you want to be true to due process, you believe in it all the time, not picking and choosing if someone is genuflecting when you walk in the room. Okay, so Adam just gave the story about Outback and the fact that the church, an order of $735 for takeout. They come pick it up. They leave nothing. The waitress had to spend so much of her time on that, she didn't make money working other tables. So then she went and complained about it through social media, and she got fired. So what is this? Lindsay, you go first. When someone complains about something happening at their job, and then their job reacts to it, you have to know this is a possibility. I agree with her, by the way, that I'm sorry. When it's $735 and it's a takeout, you need to be bringing some money. And you know what? I think people are going tippy-toeing around this because it's a church. I'm sorry. It's $735, no matter if it's Adam or a church. So where are we at on this one?
I think it depends on how you talk about it on social media. For instance, when people post the picture of the receipt and they don't have, like, to show, like, they didn't get tipped, I think that's super classless.
Yep.
I think it's tacky. I think you work in a service-driven industry, and I get that sometimes – I did it. I mean, this is the first
– Yep.
This is the first year that I don't have multiple W-2s from serving jobs. I get that sometimes you get stiffed, but that's a part of the job. It's an unfortunate part of the job. But I think there's a way you can complain about work. I've definitely written out tweets and deleted them about this place because I just don't even want to go down that road. Sure,
wow.
There's a tongue-in-cheek way
Adam.
To...
Could have been about you.
Well, no, but there's a tongue-in-cheek way to joke about it. We joke
sure.
about our coworkers
yes.
who call in sick all the time, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And there's just a way to handle it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with her, Carter, because I'm sorry. $735, you should be leaving plenty of cash. And doesn't matter if you're church, synagogue, mosque. But we've said this how many times? If you're going to go comment about your place of work, it's not like I get to say whatever I want. If you're go ahead and rip.
No, especially when you're working for a national chain like
yes.
that. I mean, what do you expect?
All right, let me hit this one first. Okay, so my flexibility, probably actually in life and my body, overrated. Okay, I'm stubborn. I screw up a lot of stuff in that area. Then physically, I do it. So I've talked about hot yoga before. It had been a while. I did it again the other day. I'm not very good at it. I'm just not. But I do, and we're a show of judgment. We like to give, that's a part of what we do here, right? Give opinions. Give strong opinions. But not taking ourselves too serious. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. You get to have your opinion about us. But I actually love when I do hot yoga garden. And I think you would too. And there are times, and if anybody thinks yoga is easy, you're a fool. And if anybody thinks you have to go because you're fantastic at it, you're missing out. I mean, the place I go to is Yoga MN, Plymouth. They're just, the decency is just great. Is it helping me? I hope so. In some way, it's certainly not hurting me. So that's one. I'm going to give you another one. I walk through the Normandy, although what is it called now? It's not, is it called the Normandy still?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. There is a woman at the front desk who every time she sees somebody has the greatest yep. smile on her face, asks you how you're doing and having a great day.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing. I mean, she could be torturing her children later today. I don't know. But it seems as genuine as can be. And it's, you know, on a cynical, snarky show.
Yes.
It's still nice to see the people do that.
Yeah.
What do you got?
On that note, Radio Row, the first day I was out there, the woman who was at the little entrance to Radio Row, you know, they were clearing a hole for everybody. I mean, it was kind of weird because it's like I'm just expecting to get in there. We're like, okay, this guy's got to get in. Like, you know, it's like, nah, don't worry. I'm not that important.
Yeah.
But the woman there was like looking at, and she was so good at it because it's not like she was staring at the name tag, but she noticed my name on the name tag. It was like, hey, Adam, welcome back. You know, like, thanks for coming in. And it was like, wow, that was really, your job is, you do your job really well.
I actually was really impressed by the staff out at Radio
Row.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, they were great.
It was chaos for them because they were trying to keep fans back. And let's be honest, people weren't listening to them.
No.
But every time you walked up, they had a smile for you. They were super welcoming. And there is something to be said about it. I always joke when I stumble upon one of those people who's always in a good mood or is always super friendly, I want whatever they're on.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not one of those people for the most part. I'm pretty outgoing, but sometimes I'm just like, I got stuff to do. I'm trying to get it done. But there is something about those people who just have this capability of making you feel very special. And you're kind of like, it's weird. You're like that woman saying your name.
Yeah.
Like just that one moment.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, that's really, you know, you do your job really well.
And both of us have said over and over again how much disdain we basically have for lack of sincerity.
Right.
So then there is a judgment about it. But I think some people, you can just see that they feel like it's part of what they should do. They genuinely have some caring as opposed to, hey, how's your day?
Yeah, you can tell.
No, I mean, you don't. Yeah. You don't care how my day is. Lindsay?
I've got two, one in the overrated category and one in the underrated category.
All right.
The underrated category has some potential to cause some strife in my household.
Oh, John, overrated.
No. John is very underrated.
Yeah.
Underrated as we are looking at our house because, you know, the really important stuff when you're buying a house is where you should put rugs. I had a conversation last night with the other person who will be living in this house about my desire to have a rug in the kitchen. And he was anti-rug in the kitchen. So I'm going underrated rugs in the kitchen.
Rugs in the kitchen. Carter, hardwood floors, but then you still have a rug in the kitchen. Do you want that?
No.
Even if it's just like outside of where the sink is, like you have a rug.
Oh, no, that's fine. Like a mat.
No, it's a rug.
I don't think you need it.
I don't either. I mean, mats are fine in a bathroom.
Shocking.
But like
the two
rug,
men in the room.
Okay. But okay.
that's
now,
just a food threat.
How about your bathroom? Do you want to have some mats or some rugs when you get out of the shower?
Yes,
I do. But in the kitchen, I don't think you need
it. See, it's an aesthetics thing.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I'm most excited about this house is that it's a 1950s, so it's that similar layout where you know the bedrooms are on one side of the house.
Yep.
So there's a hallway that leads to it. All I've done all weekend long is look at hallway rugs. I'm like, okay, do we want it this wide? You know, John's planning how we have to replace the water heater and get our, you know, new concrete poured for the steps.
Get those oil tankers out of the backyard.
Well, there was no oil tanker.
Okay,
thank you. Good. Thankfully.
Yeah.
We've got our certificate confirming.
Yeah.
But I am stuck on the rugs. Now, my overrated.
Would you like the two of us to maybe come out
not
and
a
give
chance.
You some?
Nope.
Adam, you think we'll give her a discount? Right, to come out there and give you some design. Who are some of the better designers of like reality show designers?
Well, there's this woman. Her name's Emily Henderson. She does a lot with Target. She's fantastic.
We're way better than Emily. Carter, we would destroy Emily Henderson, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Bring it on, Emily.
So my overrated.
We got this dogs playing poker thing. I mean, I don't know.
Velvet Elvis.
We do have a bar in the basement, and I would not.
And
say no to a dog.
And there's this
playing
one
poker.
Dog. I don't want to spoil it for it, but the cheats. And you
cheats?
Gotta, yeah, exactly.
God, and they're smoking inside the house.
Yeah.
Overrated.
How many people still have the dogs playing poker posters somewhere right now? What percentage of places where people reside? 0.0
that aren't college frat houses?
Yes.
Oh, man. What under
you,
10.
What if you, the first time you went to John's house, he had that? Just John's apartment or wherever he was living. He had like a huge portrait of the dogs playing poker. He said, listen. This comes with me.
I've walked into worse.
Oh, okay.
Overrated, and this could cause some issues, just because I know we have some more conservative listeners.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was telling me how her coworker went in to have her baby last week. Her baby boy, that turned out to be a baby girl, because the doctor was wrong. So the entire nursery, their baby shower, everything done in baby blue for the baby boy has to be redone. And I thought, gender baby colors, the pinks for the girls and the blues for the boys, overrated. It's
overrated.
2018.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I'm with you, Carter.
Yeah, we did ours in green.
I like green. I like green and yellow.
Yes. Now, what do you think about the whole gender parties, right? When you announce we got a girl. So overrated. Just another excuse to try to get gifts.
I don't even think it's that. It's an attention thing.
Yeah.
I honestly, if I decide to have children, I don't know if I'd be able to have one because I don't have a clever way to announce it on social media.
Right.
You know, and then the parties. I will say this, though. I was at a wedding once where they were having a baby. So, you know, it wasn't one of those the bride wore white kind of weddings.
Yeah. Wow.
And during the
spoiler.
Reception, they did fireworks to find out the gender, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a separate party.
It's just like everything now, even like the prom invites, Carter. It's like, does anybody just say, hey, would you like to marry me? Or, hey, would you like to go to prom? It's got to be.
You have to get a social media post out of it.
Exactly.
If you're doing something in life, if you don't get a good social media post out of it, it's not worth doing.
252, that is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to learn why Lindis Construction has served over 75,000 happy customers since 1979. A reminder, tomorrow, 2:10, it's more than just regular Timberwolves Tuesday. It's your chance to win a pair of tickets to sit in a suite for an upcoming Wolves game. The game is March 28th. 7 p.m. Atlanta Hawks. The three of us will be there. We're going to have a total of 12 listeners show up. We'll start it tomorrow at 2:10. You're going to have to tell us a funny, amusing, humorous story. You can do it through a text, 81807. You can do it through our Facebook, facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show, or tomorrow at 2:10 on air. And don't forget, on Friday, in honor of the Winter Olympics, working together with the great folks with Dakota Curling. So we're going to do our whole show Friday from that excellent location. Thanks, as always, for listening. You ever want to send an email to me? Chad.Hartman@Entercom.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.